Present Kenneth Williams, Derek Nimmo, Clement Freud and Betty Marsden in just a minute. And as the minute waltz fades away, here to tell you about it is our chairman, Nicholas Parsons.
Thank you very much indeed, and welcome once again to Just a Minute. May I just remind you of the rules? I'm going to ask each one of them to speak in turn on some unlikely subject which they know nothing about for just a minute without hesitation, without repetition, and without deviation. I think the scoring will become obvious as we proceed, so let us start this particular game with Derek Nimmo. Derek, striking a fresh acquaintance. A good subject, and just a minute if you can talk on it, starting now.
Well, what I generally do is I prepare my equipment first of all. I tend to favor a Malacca cane. I take it out in the morning, make sure it's nice and flexible, and then I go out into the street, and it's curious, you know, every time you turn a corner, you come across a tolerably fresh acquaintance. If they're not fresh, of course, then you can make them fresh by baiting them with various well-chosen remarks. Having got them suitably game, then you take hold of your Malacca cane and strike them several times across the face.
Clement Freud, do challenge. Why?
Several times is repetition.
Very clever, Clement. 29 seconds for striking a fresh acquaintance, starting now.
I have very few acquaintances who are other than fresh, so that my acquaintance has to be evilly...
Derek, remember, you're challenged by...
Yes. Hesitation.
Hesitation, indeed. You have a point, Derek. You have 22 right. seconds for striking a fresh acquaintance starting now.
Well, I generally join the Lonely Hearts Club. I pay 17 and sixpence to this fund, and they put my name into a little ballot box, and they pull out a chum for me. They send me a little letter, and I go and meet this chum. And when I see this person, perhaps a female, I say, "Hello, Mary," if that happens to be her name. "How are you today?" And she says, "Is your name Derek?" And I say, "Yes." She says, "How charming to meet you." And I say, "It's delightful to meet you."
Well, as Derek Nimmo was speaking when the whistle went, then he gains another point. Betty Marsden, your turn to begin, and here we go. What to do when you've ricked your back? Would you try and talk for just a minute on that subject, starting now?
Well, when you have ricked your back, the very thing you must not do is attempt to lie down, because this makes it very painful, plus the fact that it is impossible to get in that position. For as one bends over, as a human hairpin, and the pain shoots from here up to one's head, one finds great difficulty in even lifting an arm. Well, here we are then, unable to lie down because the pain is so tremendous, unable to stand up. So the only thing one can do on this occasion is to get a kind husband or friend to undo a door, take it off its hinges, and lean it in a very, very difficult way, but a slight angle, like that.
Clement Freud, of challenge, why?
An angle is deviation.
Oh! It may be deviation, but it is not devious, and I think, therefore, I am justified in giving Betty Marsden another point. It was a very clever challenge, but there are 18 seconds left for you, Betty, what to do when you break your back, starting now. Derek Nimmo.
Well, hesitation.
Hesitation. Oh. 16 seconds, Derek, for what to do when you've ripped your back, starting now.
I turn on my tummy immediately, Edric. I lie there and I put my arms out akimbo, my legs out akimbo, and then I put a loose...
Kenneth Williams, you've challenged.
Repetition.
Too much akimbo.
Yes.
Your akimbo got you in trouble there.
Yes.
Derek. Kenneth, 9 seconds left for you to talk about what to do when you've ripped your back, and you start now.
The obvious thing to do is to go straight to a bone setter, a good old-fashioned man who knows his job, who indeed has got in the surgery there, the actual skeleton, showing...
Oh, thank you. Yes.
Oh, I've leapt into the lead, haven't I? I've leapt into it.
Alongside Clement Freud and Eric Nimmo. Clement Freud, it's your turn to begin... Dentists, something everybody has experience about. Will you try and talk for just a minute, starting now?
Dentists are members of a professional class who tend to wear white coats for a reason which I've never yet found out, who do... No...
Derek Nimmer, you challenged
well.
Yes, it was.
What a shame.
Yes, it was, because something like that... obviously, he's got some very painful experience at the dentist. He couldn't go on. 51 seconds, Derek, for dentists, starting now.
Open your mouth, Derek O'Fruit, he says. I open it, and there he looks at my molar, and then he produces a long, nasty instrument with a needle on the end, which spins round in a particularly revolting fashion, and he plunges this deep into my tooth and fills me with most alarming and horrid pain. Then he gets a little scraper, scraped round the edges, pulls away all the stuffing from inside, all the muck and rubbish and so on, and then puts into it some rather nasty grey or black stuff, or if I'm feeling particularly extravagant, gold stuff as well. Perhaps...
Clement Freud, why do you challenge?
Hesitation.
Oh. No, I don't think so. He was in full flood. Derek Nimmer, you have 15 seconds left to carry on with dentists starting now.
I lean back in my chair, and he gives me a little glass of pink-scented liquid. I swish it round in my mouth, and I swallow it or spit it out into a little basin beside me. He takes away the little piece of paper from round my neck, throws it into the waste paper basket. Hello, old fruit.
Well, Derek's long discourse on his dentist, however unpleasant it may have sounded, has put him in a definite lead over the other two gentlemen who are both leading Betty Marsden by 2 points. Kenneth Williams, it's your turn to begin. The Big Dipper. If you haven't been on it, imagine you have and talk for just a minute starting now.
The Big Dipper can, of course, mean someone who dips very largely into their pocket for charity, and that is something I'm not known for. On the other hand, of course, it can refer to the scenic railway. And quite recently, I was asked what kind of travel I preferred, and I named this kind of travel, and they put me on one for nothing. A photographer was put in the front to photograph me, and I was in the back seat, careering up and down that marvellous scenic railway at Battersea. Well, I was... in a state of exhilaration, I can tell you. I was screaming with joy, because I love all the bits where you go right down. Ah! Oh, I was carried away, and some of the photographs, when they came out of me on the scenic railway, were a joy to behold. The mouth was wide open.
Derek Nimmer, why do you challenge?
What is deviation? Talking about his trips on the scenic railway rather than the Big Dipper.
I think the Big Dipper is part of a scenic railway. I think it could be described as such. So, Kenneth, I'm still with you and your joy. Carry on for 15 seconds. The Big Dipper starting now.
And as we came down the last stretch and I got off breathless and almost exhausted, the gentleman running it said to me, "Here, are you on the telly?" Because I knew my face straight away, you see. And he said, "It's unusual to see someone like you on here."
Derek Miller, why do you challenge?
Deviation. You're talking about his chums coming up to him and asking for his autograph and things.
Because I think he's got a little bit off the Big Dipper now.
Shame.
Derek Nimmer has 2 seconds left for the Big Dipper starting now.
I have a Big Dipper, which I keep stuffed in a glass case.
The interesting thing about this game is if you can manage to challenge someone just before the 60 seconds is up and take the subject over, you automatically gain a point because you manage to keep going when the whistle goes. So Derek Nimmer's got 2 more points, which gives him a definite lead over everybody else.
But you could make it half a point if you wanted to, couldn't you?
I can make it no points at all if I wanted to.
Oh, why don't you do that?
That's the power that I have, Kenneth.
Because I never win.
Oh. Kenneth, you're getting all the audience sympathy. When I next appeal to them, you see what happens. Betty Marsden, it's your turn to begin. Slang, starting now.
Slang? Well, these are very small words used for very long words. For instance, one runs down the apples and goes round the Johnny, and one pushes down the old Scrumpy. All that sort of thing. And everybody barders you see, and your eeks are shining and your lallies are weak by the time you push down all this Scrumpy. And the whole thing is a language understood only by deep friends of yours to whom you've written small notes in this particular language. Now, the word S-L-A-N-G, the one that I am speaking about, is very interesting because there is a song about it called Old Slang Syne, which we use every New Year's Eve for everybody's benefit. And all those little Scottish words that, you know, we love, och and I, they all mean something very, very interesting indeed, but I can't possibly tell you about it.
Thank you. Yes, 60 seconds flat. Well done, Betty Marsden. The visitor to the game, playing against the three regulars, and Betty has managed to speak for 60 seconds without being interrupted, so I think she deserves a bonus point. Well done, Betty Marsden. It's brought you equal with Clement Freud, who's won. They were both 1 point behind Kenneth Williams, who was still a little way behind Derek Nimmo. Clement Freud, Utopia. Will you talk to us, if you can, for 60 seconds on this subject, starting now?
Utopia, I seem to remember, is a rather boring poem written by Sir Thomas More in about 1516 about an island on which all the right things happen to the right people. And the word has now been taken up in everyday language to...
Derek Nimmo, you shall.
Hesitation
indeed. Utopia, Derek Nimmo, with 42 seconds left, starting now.
I went to this pub in Devon, you see, and I was standing against the bar. A man came towards me. He's an old gentleman with long grey hair and a big hat and sucking a straw in his mouth.
Clement Freud, why do you challenge?
All that time without Utopia. Deviation.
May I just...
Very rapidly. Can you justify very rapidly?
Well, he came up to me and I was standing at the bar and he said, "Oh, Utopia." And I said, "Okay."
All right. We'll give it to you, Derek. You have another point. You have 32 seconds left for Utopia, starting now.
It's what I'm always looking for. You know, every day when I get up in the morning, I always think, will I find Utopia today? I never do, but I always keep trying, you know. I think that's one of the important things
Freud,
in life.
Repetition.
Of what?
Always keeps trying.
Yes, well...
not repetition, is it? Once?
It wasn't that. It's the implication of the word, if you always keep trying, it must be repetitious.
Must be.
Which is a very clever challenge, and I think it does deserve a point. And Clement Freud has gained it. He has 25 seconds left for the subject, Utopia, starting now.
It is now described as something which everybody's looking for, but nobody ever finds. And cuckoo land in the House of Commons is the sort of meaning that Utopia has. Look where one likes, one doesn't find this euphoria among things that...
Kenneth Williams, who challenge?
Well, it was either hesitation or mispronunciation. Euphora.
Yeah. I'm very sorry, Kenneth. I think it was all
What
accurate.
Is the word?
Euphoria.
Well, excitement.
Euphoria? What does that mean? I've never heard it.
When Kenneth Williams goes on the Big Dipper, that's a touch of euphoria.
You didn't say euphoria.
He did, Clement.
Well, that's a disgrace. You definitely hesitated. You mispronounced it. And now you're trying to get
You cannot change your challenge, Kenneth. There's 9 seconds left for Clement Freud to go on with Utopia, starting now.
It is a lovely vision. The island where everything happens that should happen, where men are beautiful, where women are willing...
Betty Marsden, you challenge.
Hesitation,
Betty. You have 2 seconds left for Utopia, starting now.
So, I wear it on my head.
Clement Freud, you challenge what?
Hesitation.
Right, Clement Freud, you have another point. You have
hesitation.
Clement Freud, for Utopia, starting now.
Oh, yes.
Wait a minute. No, Derek Nimmo got in first. Derek
hesitation.
Nimmo. Hesitation, indeed. Right, a point to Derek Nimmo. 1 second left for Utopia, Derek, starting now.
Hello. Oh, yes.
Kenneth Williams, your turn to begin this time. My favorite pudding. Starting now.
My favorite pudding is Christmas pudding. And the best ones I have actually are due to a recipe which my Aunt Edith has, and she makes them like a dream. The only trouble is she does tend to put in these silver things, and someone or two of my fillings, once or twice, got caught on these, and I have had some very painful experiences because my teeth are particularly sensitive to any metal or metallic substance coming into contact with them. Next to Christmas pudding, of course, there's cabinet pudding. Now, Mrs. Wayne of Bicester holds the recipe.
Clement Freud, you've challenged. Why?
Deviation.
Why?
My favorite pudding. And he's now specified that there was another pudding.
Yes, that's perfectly correct. Well
oh,
done,
yes,
Clement Freud.
Right.
Sir Clement Freud, you have a point, and you have 23 seconds for my favorite pudding, starting now.
My favorite pudding is bread and butter pudding, which is made with bread, butter, eggs, sugar, cream. You cake...
Hesitation indeed. 15 seconds for my favorite pudding, starting now.
My favorite pudding is known as black pudding because of the color that it bears. It is made from all sorts of indescribable things like congealed blood.
Clement Freud.
Deviation.
Why?
It's just made from congealed blood.
Not
all sorts of indescribable things.
There are other things besides.
Well, you can make a black
around the
pudding.
Outside.
It depends how you make it. I'm sure yours, being a very pure black pudding, would be made that way.
I think it's revolting. I don't want to sit here and listen to a load of filth.
gracious, I think it's disgraceful. You should have ruled him out.
Well, now, Clement Freud, can you, as a cook, I can't argue with you over culinary matters, can you justify the fact, is it really only made
of... I'm sorry, actually, the skin around the outside.
But what are those little white pieces?
Little white pieces?
What are the little white pieces, Clement Freud? Come on.
I'm not going to argue with Clement Freud over food. I let the audience judge about food with Clement Freud.
You judge it.
Do you think that Derek Nimmer was correct in his description? And if you do, will you cheer? And if you think he was incorrect, will you all boo? And will you all do it now?
Boo. Yay!
Derek Nimmer, they like your black pudding better than Clement Freud. So you have another point. You have 4 seconds left for my favorite pudding starting now.
Well, next time I have one, I'm going to share it with the audience because they're so kind and sweet. And I shall put bacon...
Clement Freud, why...
Deviation.
Yes, indeed. I quite agree. Clement Freud, you've got the point after all. You have 2 seconds for my favorite pudding. Starting. Starting.
Bite.
Now.
Butter the bread very generously.
Oh, <yeah.
laughs> well, there we are. Betty Marsden, your turn to begin. My most unforgettable character, starting now.
His name was Mr. Morrison. Rover Morrison. He was called after dogs because he was a veterinary surgeon.
Kenneth Williams.
Deviation. What's it got to do with dogs?
He's a veterinary surgeon.
Well, he...
called after dogs.
He was called Rover Morrison.
Have you never called after a dog? Ooh, Rover! Come here. No, I'm sorry. You know, he was a man... He sounds a very unforgettable character to me, Kenneth. I'm very sorry. But... Don't look so hurt, please, Kenneth. Betty has another point. She has 53 seconds left. For my most unforgettable character, starting now.
A veterinary surgeon, Rover Morrison.
Kenneth Williams.
Repetition.
My most unforgettable character, Kenneth, with 50 seconds, starting now.
My most unforgettable character was a character who came up to me in an hotel and said, would you come over and help me because I'm out here for the waters? And I said, what do you mean, the waters? And he said, I broke my leg and I've come here for the waters. You that thermal?
Derek Nimmer.
We've had the waters 3 times.
Yes, we've had the waters. Bitch, too much.
Good job I am.
Derek Nimmer, it's your turn now with 35 seconds for my most unforgettable character, starting now.
I met him, first of all, 45 kilometers outside Addis Ababa. I was walking down a little gully, and there, at the end of this little road, I saw a man with a green hat on and fur... right round his...
Clement Freud. Hesitation indeed, yes. 21 seconds, Clement. My most unforgettable character, starting now.
My most unforgettable character came up to me in the Odeon Theatre in Leicester Square and said, look at me well for a long time. Watch my nose, my eyes and my ears because I want you to remember me for the rest of your life. And I looked at him most carefully and said, yes, you beautiful specimen of humanity. Never have I seen anyone as remarkably accurate...
Oh, no, Derek, challenge us before.
Just that little hesitation. We'd rather sport it for Mr. Freud. What a shame to hesitate just before he finished. Never mind.
Well, try, Derek Nimmer.
Yes,
you're
yes.
in the lead.
So,
and
what do I do?
You're in the lead and yes. you can afford to be magnanimous.
And the subject's unforgettable character today. Now, my...
Derek, you're trying very hard, but you're trying us too hard. I'm afraid Clement Freud has another point for that challenge with 1 second left for my most unforgettable character starting now.
Goodness me, sir.
Well, I said you could afford to be generous, Derek, because in spite of that little bit of extra that Clement Freud got there, he's still in second place. And Clement Freud, it is your turn to begin. Automatic dishwashers. Will you try and talk for 60 seconds on that subject starting now?
The point about making a dishwasher automatic.
Derek.
Fair, an awfully unfortunate hesitation.
It was unfortunate.
Hesitation.
Yes.
Well,
no.
muck up the word.
Yes. Well, it's a very fluent fluff.
A fluff.
Couldn't call that.
Yes, well, all right. Your fluff gets Derek Nimmer a point on this definite occasion. I mean, definitely gets him a point on this occasion. And there are 51 seconds for automatic dishwashers, Derek, starting now.
I have been married 13 years, and ever since that moment, I have become an automatic dishwasher.
Kenneth Williams, why
deviation.
Why do you think it's
deviation? Being married has nothing to do with dishwashers.
Kenneth Williams, if you were married, you'd know how essential it was for any married man to have an automatic dishwasher. That most husbands are automatic dishwashers. So, Derek Nimmo, automatic dishwashers starting now.
I bought this particular machine in a well-known general store in the Brompton Road. I climbed 3 flights of stairs, met a man in a white jacket who was terribly kind and showed me the way to the department where I could buy one. And I said, could I have, please, an automatic dishwasher? He said, I would be delighted to serve you, sir. I would be absolutely thrilled to sell you one of these machines. So I said, can I take it away with me? He said, of course, well, why not? Why not? So I gave him my check.
Clement Freud, why do you challenge?
Repetition.
What?
Why not? Why not?
Very clever. All right, Clement Freud, 25 seconds for automatic dishwashers starting now.
You put the soap in at one end, and a number of brushes and lathers revolve around the teacups, the saucers, and a small basket takes the silverware.
Derek Nimmer, why do you challenge?
Boring. Very, very boring.
But, alas, accurate. So it means that Clement Freud has another point. And there are 17 seconds for automatic dishwashers, Clement, starting now.
There's a special compartment that takes glasses and wares of any kind like that. Some of it in crystal, and much of it goes dirty at one end and comes out clean at the other, because this is why it is automated. My mother had one of these.
Derek Nimmer, why do you tell?
Hesitation is grinding to a terrible halt now, isn't it?
He may be dreariness
slobbering down one dreary word tumbling so very
slowly. Derek, I disagree. He may have been getting terribly dreary sounding, but he was keeping going, alas. There are three.
Robin.
Yes.
I love all that.
And you were sitting next to him, weren't you?
Yes.
There are 3 seconds left for automatic dishwashers, starting now.
An uncle gave one of these machines to an aunt.
Kenneth Williams, it is your turn to begin. Things I keep under my bed. That is the subject that Ian Messiter has thought of you for you to talk upon for just a minute, starting now.
The things I keep under my bed are only kept there on certain occasions. That is to say, they are not there permanently. If I have the flu, then I do tend to have the box of tissues underneath the bed handy with the cough mixture or whatever medicine I happen to be taking at the time. On the other hand, I frequently do have under the bed an alarm clock. Now, the reason I have the alarm clock under the bed as opposed to a table beside the bed is because I haven't got a table beside the bed. When the alarm is to wake me in the morning...
Clement Freud, why do...
3 alarms.
You're definitely right. There are 3 alarms there. So, Clement, you have the subject. You have 26 seconds for the things I keep under my bed, starting now.
The most predominant thing I keep under my bed is a carpet, which is of hair cord.
Again, it's Williams. Why
deviation. You... How can a carpet predominate?
You obviously haven't seen Clement Freud's carpet. Clement Freud, you have another point. 21 seconds for the things I...
It's a huge, bulging, angry carpet that predominates all over the bed and on...
Derek Nimmer, why do you tell?
We've had the carpet twice.
That's yes, indeed right, yes. Derek Nimmer, you have another point. You have 17 seconds for the things I keep under my bed, starting now.
I have under my bed, and it's absolutely true, a wonderful Victorian Chinese potty.
Hesitation.
There was a hesitation before his potty. I'm not surprised.
Always hesitates before one's potty.
Jesus, it's great, isn't it? No, that congealed blood and now potty is up in a situation. Come here to listen to you, listen.
12 seconds, Clement Freud, for you. Things I keep under my bed, starting now.
I was recently given a medicine chest by my wife, which was placed under the bed, which is a...
Derek Nimmer, why do you shut?
I'm afraid he said bed again. You see, that's 3 times he said bed, you see.
The things I keep under my bed, yes, but this does come in the title of the subject, so I think
he's
all right.
We were allowed 3 times.
There are 8 seconds for things I keep under my bed, Clement Freud, starting now.
And a thermometer is the most exciting thing that there is in the medicine chest. A beautiful mercury instrument which starts at 96...
Betty Marsden, you challenged just as the thing went. Why?
A deviation.
Why?
He was talking about what was inside his medicine chest, not what was under the bed.
Well done, Betty. You have another...
The medicine chest was under the bed.
Yeah, no, she went on and on about it. What was in the medicine chest? And it was closed.
You're trailing a lot, Betty. I'm going to give you the benefit of the doubt with another point. And 1 second left for things I keep under my bed, starting now.
Things.
Trevor Freud, you got in first.
Yes.
Why?
Hesitation.
Well done. Half a second for things I keep under my bed, starting now.
Toothbrush.
I'm afraid that was it. Definitely it is. So, let me mention, first of all, that Betty Mars and Kenneth Williams were both third together. They both did, I thought, very well, particularly Betty, who hasn't played the game as often. Derek Nimmo was a very good second, but this week's winner by 2 points was Clement Freud.
Chairman of Just a Minute was Nicholas Parsons. The program was devised by Ian Messiter and produced by David Hatch.